కృష్ణ 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 హరి హరి, హరి రామ హరి రామ, రామ రామ హరి హరి, హరి కృష్ణ.
జయ రాధా మాధవ కుంజ బిహారీ, జయ రాధా మాధవ కుంజ బిహారీ, జయ రాధా మాధవ కుంజ బిహారీ, గోపీజన వల్లభ గిరివర ధారీ, గోపీజన వల్లభ గిరివర ధారీ, యశోదనందన వ్రజ జనరంజన, యశోదానందన వ్రజ జనరంజన, యమునా తీరావనచారీ, యమునా తీరావనచారీ, జయ రాధా మాధవ కుంజ బిహారీ, జయ రాధా మాధవ కుంజ బిహారీ, జయ రాధా మాధవ కుంజ బిహారీ, హరి కృష్ణ హరి కృష్ణ 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 హరి హరి, హరి రామ హరి రామ 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 హరి హరి, హరి కృష్ణ హరి కృష్ణ 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 హరి హరి, హరి రామ హరి రామ 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 హరి హరి.
ఎవ్రీబడి చాంట్
హరి కృష్ణ హరి కృష్ణ 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 హరి హరి, హరి రామ హరి రామ 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 హరి హరి,
హరి Jaya Radha Gopinath Radha Gopinath Radhe. Jaya Prabhupada, 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 Jaya Prabhupada. Thai Gaur Premanande. Sri Sri Radha Gopinath Bhagavan Ki. శ్రీల ప్రభుపాద కీ గ్రంథరాజ్ శ్రీమద్ భాగవతం కీ తాయి గౌర ప్రేమానందే. ఐ జస్ట్ ఫెల్ట్ దట్ సింప్లీ బై చాంటింగ్ జయ రాధా మాధవ్ అటెంటివ్లీ యూ కెన్ బీ ఇన్ గోలోక్ వృందావన్ ఫర్ ఫ్యూ మినిట్స్ ఇన్ అ డే. వెరీ గుడ్. ఇట్స్ అ పర్ఫెక్ట్ సాంగ్ of spiritual world. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. నారాయణం నమస్కృత్యా నరం చైవ నరోత్తమం దేవీం సరస్వతీం వ్యాసం తతో జయముదీరయే నష్టప్రాయేషు అభద్రేషు నిత్యం భాగవత సేవయా భగవతీరుత్తమ శ్లోకే భక్తిర్భవతి నైష్టికీ కృష్ణాయ వాసుదేవాయ దేవకీ నందనాయ చ నందగోపకుమారాయ గోవిందాయ నమో నమః గోవిందాయ నమో నమః తప్త కాంచన గౌరాంగీ రాధే వృందావనేశ్వరీ విశ్వభానుసుతే దేవీ ప్రణమామి హరి ప్రియే ప్రణమామి హరి ప్రియే. హరే కృష్ణ. సో వి ఆర్ రీడింగ్ ఫ్రమ్ శ్రీమద్ భాగవతం ఫస్ట్ క్యాంటో 9th చాప్టర్ 41st వర్స్. Chapter entitled The Passing Away of Bhishmadev. Muni Ganandrupa Varya Sankulentaha Sadasi Yudhishthira Rajasuya Esham Arhanam Upapeda Ikshaniyo మమ దృషి గోచర ఏష ఆవిరాత్మా. మునీగణ నృపవర్య సంకులేంతః సదసి యుధిష్ఠిర రాజసూయ ఏషాం అర్హణం ఉపపేద ఈక్షణీయో మమ దృషి గోచర ఏష అవీరాత్మా. ఐ शिक्षणीयो मम दृशि गोचर एष अवीरात्मा मुनि गण नृपवर्य संकुलेन्तः सदसि रुधिष्ठिर राजसूय एषाम् अर्हणम् उपपेद इक्षणीयो मम दृशि गोचर एष आविरात्मा. ओके, हरे कृष्ण. मुनिगण, द ग्रेट लर्नेड सेजेस, नृपवर्य, द ग्रेट रूलिंग किंग्स, संकुले इन द ग्रेट असेंबली ऑफ अंतः सदसी कॉन्फ्रेंस, युधिष्ठिर Emperor Yudhishthir, Rajasuye, a royal performance of sacrifice, Esham, of all the great elites, Arhanam, respectful worship, Upapeda, received, Ikshaniyaha, the object of attraction, Mama, my, Drushi, sight, Gocharaha, within the view of Eshaha Avihi, personally present, Atma, the soul. Can we have one fan on? Or this one? At the Rajasuya Yajna sacrifice performed by Maharaj Yudhishthir, there was the greatest assembly of all the elite men of the world, the royal and the learned orders. In that assembly, Lord Sri Krishna was worshipped by one and all as the most exalted personality of Godhead. This happened during my presence, and I remembered the incident in order to keep my mind upon the Lord. Wow, Hari Bol. After gaining the victory in the battle of Kurukshetra, Maharaj Yudhishthir, the emperor of the world, performed the Rajasuya sacrificial ceremony. The emperor in those days, upon his ascendance to the throne, would send a challenge horse all over the world to declare his supremacy. Any ruling prince or king was at liberty to accept the challenge, to express his tacit willingness either to obey or disobey the supremacy of the particular emperor. One who accepted the challenge had to fight with the emperor and establish his own supremacy by victory. The defeated challenger would have to sacrifice his life, making a place for another king or ruler. So Maharaj Yudhishthir also dispatched such challenging horses all over the world, and every ruling prince and king all over the world accepted Maharaj Yudhishthir's leadership as the emperor of the world. After this, all the rulers of the world under the regime of Maharaj Yudhishthir were invited to participate in the great sacrificial ceremony of Rajasuya. Such performances required hundreds of millions of dollars. And it was not an easy job for a petty king. Such a sacrificial ceremony being too expensive and also difficult to perform under the present circumstances is now impossible in the age of Kali. Now, nor can anyone secure the required expert priesthood to take charge of the ceremony. After being invited, all the kings and the great learned sages of the world assembled in the capital of Maharaj Yudhishthir. The learned society, including great philosophers, religionists, physicians, scientists, and all great sages also were invited. That is to say, the Brahmanas and Kshatriyas were the topmost leading men in the society. And they were all invited to participate in the assembly. The Vaishyas and Sudras were unimportant elements of society, and they are not mentioned herein. Due to the change in the social activities in the modern age, the importance of men has also changed in terms of occupational positions. So in that great assembly, Lord Sri Krishna was a cynosure of neighboring eyes. Everyone wanted to see Lord Krishna. Everyone wanted to pay his humble obeisances, respects to the Lord. Bhishma Dev remembered all this and was glad that his worshipful Lord, the personality of Godhead, was present before him in his actual formal presence. So to meditate on the Supreme Lord is to meditate on the activities, form, pastimes, name, fame of the Lord. That is easier than what is mentioned as meditation on the impersonal feature of Supreme. In the Bhagavad Gita 12.5, it is clearly stated that to meditate upon impersonal feature of the Supreme is very difficult. It is practically no meditation or simply a waste of time. Because very seldom is the desired result obtained. The devotees, however, meditate upon the Lord's factual form and pastimes, and therefore the Lord is easily approachable by the devotees. This is also stated in Bhagavad Gita 12.9. The Lord is not different from His transcendental activities. It is indicated that also in the shloka that Lord Sri Krishna, while actually present before the human society, especially in connection with the battle of Kurukshetra, was accepted as the greatest personality of the time. Although he might not have been recognized as the supreme personality of Godhead, the propaganda is that a very great man is worshipped as God. After his death, he is very misleading because a man after his death cannot be made into God. Nor can the personality of Godhead be a human being. Even when he is personally present, both ideas are misconceptions. The idea of anthropomorphism cannot be applicable in case of Sri Krishna. Hare Krishna. Very long purport. Very beautiful purport. Hare Krishna. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Yananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupakadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Brinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Shri Bhishma Dev ki jai ho. So again the situation is such that Bhishma Dev is on the battlefield, on the bed of arrows. Every single drop of blood has flown down. In severe pain, so much of time has passed, the war has ended. And the Rajasri Yajna, amazing. So many things have happened. Raja Abhishek has happened. And then at the opportune time, Krishna is bringing all the devotees, Pandavas, to meet Bhishma Dev. And amazingly, first, Prabhupada explains about Rajasuya Yajna. We will discuss about that. That in Mahabharata, there is a parva called Ashvamedhik Parva. In that, it is explained about the Ashvamedha Yajnas that Maharaj Yudhishthira performed. And also others, but mainly Mahabharata Yudhishthira Maharaj. And it is mentioned there very clearly that four types of Yajnas are not to be performed in Kali Yuga. Ashwamedha, Rajasuya, Vajapeya, and Gomeda. Gomeda Yagya, Vajapeya Yagya, Ashwamedha Yagya and Rajasvi Yagya. These are not to be performed in Kali Yuga. But there are some people whom we know, they claim to have performed, showing deep, big wealth. But those Ashwamedha Yagyas are absolutely useless in Kali Yuga. They are not supposed to be performed, they will not yield any fruit. It's just an eye wash to present your wealth. But the highest of wealth in Kali Yuga cannot perform any Ashwamedha Yagya or Rajasvi Yagya the way it is supposed to be performed in the previous Yugas. Apart from the, Prabhupada mentioned, hundreds of millions of dollars that are required, there is no priest available who can chant the mantra and light the fire with chanting mantra only. That is called Mantra Agni. So, we who are followers of Prabhupada should never get misled by this kind of claims by many societies that they will perform and they can perform these kind of yagyas like Ashwamedha. Second thing is, as far as our reading goes through Prabhupada books, when Yudhishthira Maharaj sent his horse, there was no opposition anywhere. If I am right, I don't know. I heard one time Bhimsen went and he had to fight with Samudra Sen. But Samudra Sen also was a devotee of Lord Krishna. So he wanted to see Lord Krishna, so he fought with Bhima valiantly, and Bhima was almost defeated. This happened in Godrumadvipa, near that area, Samudra Gad. And then when Samudra Sen overwhelmed Bhimsen called out to Krishna, please, and Krishna appeared and, you know, kind of took a stance to attack Samudra Sen. And Samudra suddenly bowed down and offered dandavats on the warfare. So Bhimsen was quite puzzled what happened. So Bhimsen could not see Krishna who appeared as per the will to respond to Samudra Sen. And immediately became friends. So such kind of activities must have taken place. But that shows Maharaj Yudhishthira was such a great personality that everybody just unanimously accepted him as a leader. Like Lord Ramchandra, you know, when his name was declared, there was no opposition, actually. Something happened in family, that is because of some selfish things. But otherwise, in the whole kingdom of Ayodhya, in the whole kingdom of Bharatvarsha, there was absolutely joy. In fact, Dasharatha also was surprised. The joy which was expressed when Ram was declared to be the future king, Dasharatha had also some doubt, was I not a good king? So much overwhelming appreciation for the future king was there. It appeared as if in political world how it appears, they were just waiting for you to go so that somebody else can come. It appeared like that. It was so much of appreciation for Lord Ram. That's why Yudhishthira is worshipped as a historical personality, because he had such kind of qualities. In fact, he was accepted as Dharmaraj, the personified Dharma. His behavior was Dharma. You can study Dharma by studying him. So that was Yudhishthira Maharaj's position. And the brothers also were close. Generally, brothers are competitors, you know. They always compete with each other. Brothers had such surrender to this brother, older brother. Such respect. They disagreed on many points, but they never ever disobeyed him. They disagreed on many points. Even there is a story, I must tell you the story. There is a story in Himalayas when Pandavas were doing Vanvas. At one point of time, there was only snow where they were. And they hardly had any clothes. I mean, they are not supposed to go with warm clothes to Himalayas. I mean, Vanvas. So whatever clothes they were wearing, and it was like freezing cold, no food available, and it was a very bad situation. And Draupadi almost fainted, Arjuna fainted, Nakul Sahadev fainted. Bhima had some extraordinary strength, so he was quite awake. And Maharaj Yudhishthira was awake, and they were like there. So Bhimsen, looking at the condition of his wife Draupadi, their wife, and three brothers, kind of got very angry actually.
He said, why are we in this condition? Why we need to be in this condition? We are virtuous, we are right. So we have been manipulated by people. We are suffering because of somebody else's mischief. And how are you tolerating a personality like Draupadi, personality like Arjuna, who are celebrated personality in the whole world? Why they have to be in this condition? How can you just see them like this? How it is tolerable to see? It's impossible. Just declare a war. I am alone capable of destroying the whole Kuru army and giving justice to the what is the situation. And then he, Yudhishthira Maharaj was like, oh, Yudhishthir. In the war also he is thir. So there is no war going on. So he is most thir, most composed, not responding. So Vimsen got agitated. What is your prowess? You are supposed to be the king of the whole universe. You have that quality. And you are wandering like a mendicant in Himalayas without any footwear or without any warm clothes, without any food. Why this injustice upon you? Why are you not speaking? And then he started condemning. I don't want to tell that. How he started condemning Yudhishthira Maharaj, out of anguish. Sattvic santap kehte hai usko. Sattvic santap, So, after a long time, Bhimsen got really angry. He started crying. So Maharaj Vishnu said, by the way, in between when he was talking so loudly, even Arjuna woke up. Fainting Draupadi also woke up. And Nakul Sahadeva also woke up. And they said, yes, yes, we agree. Why should we be in this condition? And why are you tolerating all these things? Such beautiful brothers and wife, you are making them suffer like anything. Why you are not retaliating and fighting for the truth? What wrong you have done? So he heard for a long time. And he said only one line, which is very such a powerful line, such a fantastic line. We should all gather inspiration from this line that he spoke. He said, whatever vows of dharma I have taken to follow, I haven't taken them on the strength of all of you. I have taken them on the strength of my own self. So if you feel what is happening is injustice, you all can leave me. Today I release you from all my bonds. You can go back home and continue your life the way you feel appropriate. I will continue my life the way I feel appropriate. I free you from all the bandhan. And he said it with such a matter-of-fact mood, He was not like reading a scripted dialogue just to impress the audience. There was nobody there except his family members. As soon as he said that now, Bhimsen, Arjun, Draupadi, Nakul, so they all fell at his feet. And they said that, my dear brother, we are speaking all this thing out of only anguish in seeing you disrespected and suffering by somebody else, because of somebody else. Actually, we will give our life for you. My dear brother, if you feel it is appropriate to die freezing in the snow here, we are ready. If it is appropriate to wander from forest to forest, life after life, we are ready. We have surrendered souls unto your lotus feet. See, the power of purity of Yudhishthira Maharaj. You have no food. How much, till what time you will maintain your faith? Till the food is there, sleep is there, comfort is there. You can say, I am surrendered to you, I am faith. But as soon as one thing is withdrawn from you, like in today's life, mobile is withdrawn from you, then your real faith comes into action. You get angry. It's like that food is withdrawn from you, sleep is withdrawn from you, shelter is withdrawn from you, nothing is given to you, and you are already in anguish, but still you choose in that condition to surrender to that personality who is inspiring you. That is his greatness. They are not saying all these great things in normal conditions in the mahal. Yes, yes, we are surrendered to you. Oh, my position, my food, my adhikar, everything is in place. So this is Yudhishthira Maharaj. Imagine the situation when there was a disrobing of Draupadi. It is said that there was one hole in the assembly hall, that vicious assembly hall, which was made by the big toe of right foot of Yudhishthira Maharaj. Because he told the brothers, before doing anything else, Oh Bhima, oh Arjuna, oh Nakula, Sahadev, look at my thumb. If my thumb is raised, then you do. That means my permission is there for doing whatever you want to do. But if my thumb is not raised, you will not do what you feel like doing. And he has such difficulty in raising his thumb, you know, in the big toe, that he had to really keep it pressed. And that made a hole in the assembly hall. Because, you know, Bhimsen was ready to crush everybody. Arjun was ready immediately to destroy everybody. The most was Bhima. And Bhimsen really made everybody into pulp, actually. You know, he was having such power and such agitating situation, provoking condition was there. But Yudhishthira knew exactly what is to be done. He knew exactly what is to be done. And, you know, it is not easy to keep always cool and take right decisions in the most provoking situations. But Yudhishthira had that quality. In fact, he actually maintained his brothers in such conditions. They could have actually been destroyed many times before by their activity, whatever they did as simple human beings. But Yudhishthira Maharaj, who saved them, he was so popular not amongst Kshatriyas, but amongst Brahmanas and Rishis and Munis. And as a Yuvraj, as a whatever he, Yuvraj was Duryodhan, of course, but as a second Yuvraj, whatever you say, unregistered Yuvraj or unaccepted by Kauravas, whatever. But in that position also, he would treat sadhus with so much love, respect and have the association that sadhus would come every day to his palace in Hastinapur. And then one fine day they were thrown into exile. And that time also Yudhishthira Maharaj inquired with sadhus, where should I go first? So they told, go to Kamyavan in Vrindavan Dham. So he chose his first place of vanvas in Kamyavan. So then he left and went to Kamyavan. And next day again sadhus came, but they didn't find Yudhishthira Maharaj. So they, of course, they were knowing. So instead of staying in Hastinapur and taking some service or whatever in Hastinapur by other people, they all went to the forest. They all went to the forest. Because they were not attached to Yudhishthira Maharaj's position as Yudhishthira Maharaj, whatever he was. The son of Pandu, the oldest son of Pandu, the most respectable one, or heir apparent, whatever. They were attached to the personality of Yudhishthira as a devotee of the Lord, as a great personality. And they wanted to associate with him. That's why they went. He was a grahastha, he was a kshatriya, he was whatever. He had a position in society, in the kingdom. So Yudhishthira Maharaj was saying to him, to them that, my dear sadhus, I don't have any provisions over here. I don't have any servants over here. I don't have any cooking facility here. I am also living on Kandamool here. So I will offer my dandavats to you, but you'll have to make your own arrangement of Kandamool in the forest. So Shandilya Muni also was there in that crowd. He could notice that this personality is not attached to money, but is attached to serving the Vaishnavas. He is not sorry because he doesn't have the resources, but he is sorry because he can't serve the Vaishnavas anymore. Shandilya Muni could pick up, being a sadhu, he could pick up this sadhu quality in a grahastha, like Yudhishthira Maharaj. And he took him aside and said, I will give you a process and I will give mantra to you and you chant this mantra with your wife every day for a certain period of time and worship Surya Dev. And that's how Dharmaraj and Yudhishthira received Akshay Patra from Surya Dev. Looking at this sincerity of serving the desire of serving the devotees of the Lord and not really being upset about getting losing all the provisions and whatever facilities he had. So a subtle difference, no? Yeah, I am attached to the wealth which I am having, that's why I am serving. But here I am attached to the serving devotees, that's why I am feeling bad, I don't have any resources. There's a subtle difference in that. And Yudhishthira Maharaj was on this side of the story. And because of that, he explained that whatever food or whatever services he was offering in the kingdom of Hastinapur, while he was right there, much, much more food distribution, prasad distribution and seva he could do in the forest. Simply by sincerely harboring the desire of serving the Vaishnavas. How powerful is that? Imagine. So we have to understand that Yudhishthira Maharaj, such a personality, is inspiring us not to worry about losing or gaining provisions in life, but to worry about maintaining the desire to serve the Vaishnavas all the time. Well, that attracts higher powers, and all so-called deficiencies can be fulfilled by simply harboring or cultivating the desire to serve. Because desire to serve can be supplemented anywhere in the world, in the forest, in vanvas, in the kingdom, as a king, or in the most poverty conditions. So Krishna is the one who provides you to serve the Vaishnavas. It's not our achievement that I am able to procure and then to serve the Vaishnavas. And this purity of thought was there in Yudhishthira Maharaj. And that's why Bhishmadev was so much for Yudhishthira Maharaj, you know. Even at the risk of being blamed, he was fighting a mild war. He gave blessing to Yudhishthira Maharaj before the war started. Be victorious. Vijayi Bhava. While Duryodhan was puzzled, why are you giving blessing to my opponent? He said, he came to take blessings. You should have come to take blessings. You are standing like this. From my side, you feel I don't need. I am anyway going to be victorious. Why should I ask for any blessing? I am anyway going to be victorious because of you. He is thinking in the mind. So he came and offered pranams. So what else I will do? You don't know etiquette. Yudhishthira Maharaj knows, although he is an opposite party. Such a personality who had such an in-depth understanding of behavior to enemy, to so-called enemy, to actual enemy. But Yudhishthira Maharaj never saw anybody as enemy, including Duryodhana. How he taught his brothers. Duryodhana actually sent people and came himself and put a tent next to the hermitage only. And dance and, you know, Madira and Bhojan and all five-star food and opulence, everything in the tent. Like something like we have a Swiss tent, na, when we go to some yatras, you know. It's like very, it is supposed to be, but it's just nothing in front of what Duryodhana put up in the forest. And they really had a gala merry time right next to the Vanvas hermitage, close by. And they got intoxicated. So Duryodhana picked a fight with the Yaksha. You know, like arrogant people, you know, when they are intoxicated, their power, mind is completely polluted by the power, infected by power, infatuated. Picked a fight with Yaksha. And Yaksha very easily defeated Duryodhana. And Duryodhana was being dragged, tied up with creepers, you know. So much humiliation was there. And the news came to Pandava's hermitage that Dharmaraj came to know that Duryodhana is being dragged mercilessly and, you know, in a humiliating way by Yaksha, and so happened. So Vimsen said, good, that's what we wanted. Immediately said, we appreciate this. Dharmaraj very coolly said, no. As far as we are concerned, we are 5 and they are 100. But as far as Yaksha is concerned, we are 105. Wow, what kind of philosophy? Amazing philosophy. Here we are waiting. Bhimsen is saying, I am waiting. Automatically is getting crushed. Bahut acha. It's very good. Bhimsen said, no. This is the question of dignity of Kuru Vamsha. We are all Kuru Vamshas. Kuru Vamshis. So, one who was rejoicing on Duryodhana's defeat, he ordered him only, Arjuna and Bhimsen, pick up your Gada and Gandiva and go and defeat the Yaksha and release Duryodhana. It's our duty to protect our brother in front of the Yaksha. So they had to go. And they are also great souls. See, they didn't want to do this, but they obeyed. So much respect they had in the integrity, in the thought process, in the behavior and the decision of the Yudhishthira Maharaj. So they went and they defeated Yaksha very easily and released. Now instead of feeling obliged, Duryodhana felt more insulted. He better I could have died in the hands of Yaksha than being saved in the hands of my enemies. See, mentality doesn't change, you know, unless you have good association. And unless you have good association and you take the association. He had a good association of Vidura and Bhishma, but he never listened to them. But still, Yudhishthira never minded about all these things. He said, I did my duty. He released them and they went back home. So why I told this? Because in such adverse situation, Yudhishthira Maharaj never lost his cool. His he was not having knowledge. He had the realization of dharma. He had a fully realized dharma in his heart and knew exactly what is to be done in all the awkward situations of life. And there was only awkward situations in life of Pandavas. Nothing was straightforward. And every time they exhibited. So that's why Bhishma Dev was so much in love with Yudhishthira Maharaj and the Pandavas. And look at Bhishma Dev's situation. He was there when Rajasu Yagya was being performed. I'm a little bit historically puzzled. I will ask some seniors here. So when that Rajasu Yagya was performed, it was in Indraprastha, yeah. Not this Rajabhishek, which just took place. That is after the war of Kurukshetra. But when Indraprastha was created after Khandavaprastha was, you know, renovated into Indraprastha, that time the Rajasu Yagya was performed. And that time Krishna chose to become the foot washer of all the sadhus. So Bhishma Devi is remembering all that. See how wonderful it is. Bhishma Devi is in the last stage of his life. Generally speaking, as we see people who are in end of life situation, near death situation, they are always remembering something which is they attached to. Always. Maybe money, maybe property, maybe division, maybe the will that they could not have done, or whatever sad situation they had, hurted brother, sister. All those most painful or most lovable situations. In one line you can say attachment, where you are attached. Those situations are remembered by you, by default. By default, by nature, we will all remember those things where we are attached, or where we applied our mind. Most of the time in life, that's where our mind has dwelled all over the life. I'm not saying everything, but predominantly, what was our major attachment, that comes to our mind. And that's why some people die crying because of some paschattap or something like that. But if we cultivate positively, proactively the attachment to Krishna and his devotees, then those will be remembered by us at the moment of death. And here, Bhishma has always remained in Hastinapur. I don't remember reading anywhere that Bhishma had done Vrindavan Yatra. Never. He was always there in Hastinapur only, doing most wonderful activities in the most awkward situations. But see his memory or his remembrance while he is about to leave his body, and that too is in the most painful conditions of life. He is remembering Krishna's childhood pastimes, which he has not visited, he has only heard about it. He has seen Krishna in the battlefield. Last time I described in detail his hairs, you know, the dusted hair and all bloody spots on the body, sweat coming out of the body, anger, running with the wheel, all that beautiful form that nobody could see, that he is remembering. And now he is remembering Krishna, who washed the lotus feet of all the sadhus and mopped it with the pitambar, the celebrated cloth. And then he was worshipped as Agra Puja. And then how Krishna counted 10, 100. That's counting. Bhimsen was ready. Arjun was ready. He said, wait, I'm counting. And then as soon as 100 was over, he invoked chakra and cut off the head of Shishupal. So all that thing Bhishma Dev is remembering. It is such a wonderful, inspiring thing. Please understand. He could have remembered so many painful spots of his life. And there were plenty of them, which really pained. When he saw Kunti Devi coming back as a widow. When he saw Duryodhan, you know, plotting to kill Bhima, to burn them in Varanamata, to plot them for the Jyuta Krida. And all that assembly. It's a very painful situation. If we were there, mostly we would have remembered the Asat Sabha, vicious assembly, which is like a deeper, most painful, stabbing situation in life. At the level of heart. But what is the proof of Bhishma Dev's divine consciousness is that he's not remembering any of these things. Because in those situations also, his mind was fixed on Krishna. That is why he is able to remember all those things at the very end of his life. And this requires practice. This is not automatic. Simply by doing our day-to-day sadhana routinely is not going to happen. It has to be proactively cultivated. Especially when we undergo miserable situations, trivial situations, challenging situations, destroying situations, devastating situations, in that we need to practice this. Just today morning when I was walking on the seashore chanting Hare Krishna, there's something going on at domestic level, you know. And that was haunting again and again. And I was chanting with more intensity. And I was thinking that we have been taught that Krishna consciousness is a process which can make you blissful in the middle of most trivial situations of life. In the middle of most miserable conditions of life, one can remain blissful if one takes shelter of the process of Krishna consciousness sincerely. So I said, if it is true, then it should happen now only. Because the holy name is available with us. I can chant, I am not crippled or I am not unconscious. And believe me, after I thought this and I chanted, I felt blissful. And this has happened many times in life. The only problem is that when miseries come, we forget to think like this and we remain in misery, dwell in misery, continue to be in misery and keep suffering because of misery. But if we think like this at that moment of time, take shelter of the Lord in many forms, while chanting Hare Krishna, or you just pick up Bhagavatam and start reading some Katha in Bhagavatam in Vrindavan, or pick up Chaitanya Charitamrita and pick up some beautiful dancing pastime of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you will feel that it will take you out of this misery immediately, instantly. Nama Rupa Lila Dham, or remember there's some spot in Varsana, it will take you out of the misery immediately. Because this is fact, this is not just theory. But we need to proactively cultivate this habit. How many times when we are in misery, we are picking up Bhagavatam, picking up Chaitanya Charitamrita, picking up mala and start chanting or start dancing like mad in the room. We tend to remain in the misery only and try to think about the misery only, try to ponder on that only. But if we do this, we will surely get the benefit of becoming blissful even in that condition of life. And not only you will feel blissful in your miserable condition, but if people meet you in that condition, they also will be infected by your happiness. It's not only limited to you. When you are actually blissful, you will also make others blissful when they see you. That is why Bhishma Deva's remembrances of all these memories are meaningful. Because he is not sitting on a soft bed in a very beautiful rosy atmosphere about to leave this world by climbing a Vaikuntha plane. It is the bed of the arrows. He has suffered such a long time. He has suffered all his life also, with so many unpleasant situations. Even during the war, this personality never gave up his sadhana. When Draupadi was taken by Krishna to Bhishma Deva, what he was doing early morning? Was sitting in meditation. He never got deviated from his program. Whether it is war, whether it is massacre of killing people, whether he is sitting in Hastinapur in a powerful position, whatever position he was in, he never gave up his morning sadhana. Very powerful message for us. Whatever happens in life, even your whole platform of foundation may be destroyed. It will happen 100% in life. Still, one should not give up the morning sadhana that we have been given. Like we have been blessed with, I would say. Because that morning sadhana has a power to take you out of any miserable condition of life. Anything, name it, and it can take you out of it. That's why, come what may, wake up in the morning in Brahma Murta and chant the holy name. Take shelter of the holy name. Beg to the Lord to give shelter to you, to us. Pray to Him to keep us engaged in His service of Guru and Vaishnavas. Pray to Him to give His memory to us in all conditions of life. Smartavyam satatam Krishnam. Vismartavyam na jatuchit. Pray to the Lord every day in the morning. And you will, we will all see the miracle of always being out of the influence of the miseries around us. And the proof of that will be there at the end of life, like in Bhishmadev. What beautiful thing is remembering. And that has pulled Krishna to him. It's not that he is there in the battlefield, but because of his consciousness that he has cultivated all throughout his life, Krishna has not forgotten. See, my devotee is in the battlefield there, on the bed of arrows. He is doing all the things over here. He has managed Rajyabhishekam. He has enthroned Maharaj. He has witnessed everything. He has seen that everything is all right. But at an opportune time, Krishna is saying, let us go to the battlefield now. And you all don't wear white dress of mourning. You all wear Rajavastras. Take the royal insignia. Take the soldiers. Take the guards, everybody, all enter us as a king. Was he knew that my beloved devotee Bhishmadev is waiting for seeing all this and then he will leave. And because he has whole life meditated upon me as a Lord and Master, it's my duty to be there in front of him to fulfill his desire and prove to the whole world what a great personality my devotee Bhishmadev was. Let me take out his glory. So he told him, teach Yudhishthira Maharaj. And he blessed him, all your pain will go away. And he made him speak. Krishna would have spoken all these things very nicely, like he spoke to Arjuna on the battlefield. Krishna, time to teach Yudhishthira Maharaj. He would have done that. No, he wanted him to speak, Bhishmadev to speak. And the world to know the glory of Bhishmadev. So all this scenario is organized by Krishna. The perfect departure of Bhishmadev. Fully orchestrated, scripted, acted upon by Krishna. So what faith we get from this? If we really cultivate in our routine lifetime the memory of the Lord and service to the Lord, then Krishna will orchestrate a wonderful scenario at the point of our death. In our end of life care seminar, I always say this line, even if we happen to be in Timbuktu, I don't know where Timbuktu is. Timbuktu means an unknown place. Even if we happen to be in Timbuktu, for whatever mission we have, and we are about to die there, in Timbuktu also Krishna will organize for us to remember him and go back to Godhead. But for that, today you have to book your ticket with Krishna. If you have to go to, suppose, Badrinath in the month of May, you will book tickets 4 months before only. So that you are sure that you will get on the board and you will be there. So like that, death is far away from now. But today you have to make sure that you have to convince Krishna to do or get inspired to do things what he did for Bhishmadev. And he will do not only for Bhishmadev, he will do for the most so-called insignificant us also. Provided we want it in that sense. So, Srila Prabhupada also talks about personality and impersonalism, which is his favorite subject matter all the time. And all the time, again and again, he is mentioning that why the impersonalists keep on thinking about the impersonal feature, nirakar feature of the Lord. It's so difficult to meditate on nothing or something which is imaginary. We have the Lord, we have his form, we know him, we have his activities, we know his dham. We have the places where these things were performed. There are some monumental, memories are there physically also, infrastructurally also. It is so easy to relate. It is so easy to relate to the personality of Krishna, to the feature of Krishna, to the form of Krishna, to remember the pastimes of Krishna. And Krishna also explains, it is difficult to remember, meditate on my impersonal feature. So, we all are very fortunate because of Prabhupada. Why? Because when Prabhupada was preaching, even today also, but it's not so much predominant in today's world, but that time impersonalism was most predominantly preached by people, proactively preached by people. Today we talk about only give up sensual activities, but in those days, philosophically people were very highly preaching people about impersonalism. India was a kingdom of impersonalist movement. And only I think Gaudiya Sampradaya was prominently preaching personality cult, and Nimbarka, they were not so prominent. Madhvacharya was very prominent when he preached. Later on, everybody is to themselves only, not much outside. That's why Prabhupada's contribution of establishing personality of Krishna and personal, you can say, movement is laudable. Because today, I have not come across a single impersonalist arguing with me. I don't know why. Somehow, in 35, 40 years, I never came across a debating with impersonalist. And I've gone to many places, it's not like that. So, imagine that time, everybody was preaching impersonalism. And Prabhupada stood like a indefatigable pillar, saying that Krishna is a person. And we have to remember the person and relate to the person. And we are not going to become one. We are going to remain two in the mood of service to Krishna. That requires a lot of boldness. He was also threatened by people. When he preached in Rishikesh, Maharishi Mahesh Yogi sent a message, Swamiji, you are very old, you can take rest. Because all his pupils were learning yoga from him, were coming, attending Prabhupada's lectures. This is right in the kingdom of Rishikesh, you know. Send a message to him, please leave, you take rest, you are an old man. Imagine in the kingdom of impersonalism, even today I stayed in Rishikesh in 1988, even that time also I was surrounded by all stalwarts, big guys, you know, who were talking about impersonal philosophy. They say, I am mountain, mountain is me. I am Ganga, Ganga is me. It's like, you know, natural thinking is not that they are effortfully saying this. They just believe in it. There are poetry books mentioning these kind of facts in the poetry. How I feel one with the whole atmosphere around here. I am one, I am not separate. There also Prabhupada had that conviction. And they got threatened also by that, you know. It's not that they are not bothered, they are doing their own job. They could sense the poverty, purity of Prabhupada. The integrity of Prabhupada. I know so many friends who respect Prabhupada, although they are having their own following, whichever way. But they have such respect for Prabhupada, of his conviction, of his Vaishnavism, of his efforts to give that philosophy, understanding of being Krishna being person to so many countries in the world and make a revolution, change the lifestyle of people. People dancing on the street with so much of happiness without wondering about their caste and creed and position in society. So this particular personality is so easy for us. Now, we are not confused here whether Krishna is person or not person. We are all also naturally convinced. Krishna is a person, we see him every day. Oh, today I asked first thing, who dressed Gopinath today? It's so beautiful. So it's so easy for us. But why it is easy? Because Srila Prabhupada did lot of hard efforts at that time to establish this fact, which can become very easy and normal, natural for all of us. And same thing Krishna is proving to Bhishmadeva also. By coming in front of him, standing in his own feature of Satchidananda Vigraha, giving darshan of his lotus face, right in the eyes, in front of eyes of Bhishmadeva, who is just departing. How wonderful this scenario is, you know. The devotee who has spent his whole life of so many years suffering, managing the service of Hastinapur, not forgetting Krishna all the time. Krishna recognizing that, although he is on opposite side, but he is my devotee, and reciprocating with him in a very chivalrous way, as a veera, as a chivalrous warrior, how one should reciprocate and the war field. That Krishna has done in an appropriate way. And now, when the war is over, also in the most appropriate way, Krishna is reciprocating with him in the most personal way. And shedding tears in eyes, Krishna and Bhishmadeva both, with Bhishmadeva hands filled with arrows, still raising the hands to fold and offering his pranams and leaving his body so gloriously. How wonderful it is. You can go on reading, like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard Prahlad pastimes hundreds and hundreds of times, like, and we can go on reading Bhishma's departure. It will always give you inspiration and always give you an idea how to handle dying person, and will also give you an idea how to handle yourself when you are going also. How to prepare oneself. Most ideal way. The most wonderful way. And because these personalities existed, we have some hope. And it's our great fortune by because of mercy of Prabhupada that we are connected with these personalities. Otherwise, what is our connection with Bhishma Dev and Pandavas and Narad Muni and Vyasadeva? But now we all are connected. They are not unknown people. They are our family. They are our God family, actually. We are proudly part of that great God family. And I'm sure they also must be very happy with us to be connected like that. Maybe when Vyasadeva looks at us, Narad Muni looks at us, Bhishma Dev looks at us, when we offer oblations in Yajna, Bhishma Devaya Swaha, Sukadevaya Swaha, I'm sure they must be very happy. Because we are connecting with them in so many wonderful transcendental ways. How much we should be grateful and thankful to the Lord, to Prabhupada, to Guru Maharaj, to help us to connect ourselves with this great mission and great family of godly people. I don't know, we are not an intapasya as such, but still we have been blessed with this connection. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. The only connecting factor is the holy name. Whether we are together or away, physically, in different countries, we chant the holy name and we experience togetherness. We experience unity. We experience camaraderie. The family feeling is there. That I belong to something great and I don't need to worry at my trivial times. I am, even if I am not physically, but I am spiritually supported by this divine family of devotees, godly family. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna.